Hi, this is Danielle from the Gels Curator, and this is episode 53 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Speaking of around the world, today I am calling Sydney, Australia. Yep, I managed to get Rachel Castle to come on the podcast. She has always sort of seemed like a bit of a creative enigma to me. She does so much, her work is so popular, and honestly, I am kind of intimidated by her success. Success that sort of seems effortless from where I'm standing. I wanted to look behind the curtain, and I did. We cover everything from our favorite TV shows, to her career in PR, over to some dirty words in Australia that mean something completely different in Canada, and we did all of this from her car. For real. Okay, here we go. Jumping in mid-thought. Okay, before we start, maybe I won't ask you. Maybe I'll just start.
Can you hear? So I've been watching the podcast, the series podcast.
Yeah.
And oh my God, you sound like her.
Oh, really?
Like, what's her name? Maybe it's just because you're American. What's her name? Sarah.
Oh, yes. You know Sarah. Yes.
They're amazing. I love listening to those.
I know, me too. I haven't listened to the second season. I just listened to the first one, and I was so caught up in the first one that I couldn't listen. I didn't care about the second one.
The second one's even better.
Is
it? Because it's all about in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and I find all of that really fascinating.
Are you finished yet?
No. I'm halfway through, but I'm totally loving it.
Okay, maybe I should give it another chance. I got so wrapped up in whether that boy was going to get out of jail or not, and then I just couldn't. I don't know. I couldn't get into the next one. I'll try for you.
It's like the real life version of Homeland.
Oh my God, Homeland! I love Homeland.
Oh my God, I love Homeland.
It's so hard not to watch like 6 episodes in a row.
That's the thing.
Because then you start getting bleary eyed. Like my husband and I will make a deal, and we're like, okay, we'll watch one episode because my son doesn't go to, you know, my son's finally down and you're like, okay, we've got, you know, and we have to go to bed at a reasonable hour. So we're like, okay, one episode. And then that one episode finishes and we just look at each other and it's like, let's go one more.
And then you can binge in 2 days. I know what I'm doing these days. I only watch it when I'm really tired.
Yeah.
So that I know that I can just keep my eyes open till the credits. So I won't watch another one.
Have you watched The Americans?
No, but that's on my list. Is that exciting?
It's so good.
Should I be excited?
You should be very excited. Because Homeland ended and I was devastated. We're a season, I'm in Canada, so we're a season behind them. So I don't know what's happening in the current season. We won't get it here for a little while, but and so, you know, it ends and then you're devastated and like, what are you supposed to do with your night? Talk to your husband, you know? And so he said, well,
we could fight with him.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
That's right. So we can either sit on the couch or, and so he said, well, he's a big podcast listener. And he's like, oh, I heard the Americans was really good. And I was like, oh, but it's Felicity. Like, I don't think I can be down with her being a Russian spy. Like I just, you know, and he's like, well, let's just give it one episode. And I was in.
Because I was just going, I'm never gonna believe that.
Me too.
I mean, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb.
Yeah. No.
So I should persevere, right?
Oh yes. I think even I just the first episode, like the first episode hooked me, and then we binge watched. My son has just started going to sleepovers, and so he was gonna be at a sleepover from like I think 4 o'clock, and he was gonna have dinner there and then sleep over. And so my husband and I were like, well, should we go for a nice dinner? And we're like, or we could get takeout and watch like 4 Americans.
Oh my God. Awesome. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Just stick on the TV.
I know. And it was so good. We went to like 1 or 2 in the morning. And it was also good because then I didn't worry about my son because I was distracted by the hijinks of some Russian spies.
Awesome. I'm so watching it. I swear to God, I will have watched the entire, every series, every single episode by Sunday night. No joke.
Enjoy. Well, the great thing about The Americans is they're like 6 or 7 seasons in.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Yeah. So we have so much, like we just have
It's like 3 months of TV.
Yeah, we have it just all sitting there. It's like, and because, you know, with Homeland, you watch your 12 or 13 and then you can do that in a couple of days and then you have to wait however long. This is great. Like last us like a good 3 months.
So just quickly, House of Cards, because I could talk about TV for it. House of Cards, I save till Friday night. I get my champagne. I get my dips and my biscuits and I watch one episode and literally I don't start watching it till about 11 o'clock because I go one episode a week is like I'm a smack addict and I just can't bear that it's over. I can't bear it.
What?
Tragic.
I didn't watch that.
You haven't watched House of Cards?
Mm-mm. My husband, awesome. We started it and I didn't love it right away and he kept going with it and he's like, it's really good. It's really good. And I just, I don't know why I didn't.
I like it. It's really serious. It's a really somber. There's not a bright color in the place. And I kind of like that. I like the really serious ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any of those comedies, even remotely kind of slapdash. I like it to be super serious. And House of Cards is, which I like.
Did you do Orange is the New Black?
I tried, but it had too much. It was kind of, it wasn't serious enough.
Mm. I really liked the first season. And then after that, I just was like,
I didn't believe her. I just felt the whole way through she was an actress and she was. But
right. Yeah, you couldn't lose yourself in her.
No, I didn't believe her really.
Okay, here's another question. Oh, Claire.
House of Cards. Oh, my God. Hello.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Homeland. I thought you meant Claire Danes. Both of them. That's what I've heard, that Robin Wright is amazing.
Amazing. She's amazing.
Okay, I'll give that a try, too.
Do. You won't regret it.
I have to prioritize. I only have so many waking hours, and there's a lot of TV to watch.
Well, it's good that you haven't watched it because when there's nothing else to watch, you'll have saved the best till last. You really will.
Okay, that's good. I'm actually taking this summer off, so maybe I won't even. I have great plans of like going to the beach and running, but maybe I'll just sit on my couch and eat chips and watch shows because that sounds amazing too.
We only do it because we work so hard.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about that because you work so hard. Now, we can edit this part out, but I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
It's very personal, and you should never ask a lady this. But, like,
go on.
Generally, you don't have to. How old are you?
Were you asking, am I going through menopause?
No.
Yes, I am. No, I'm not. But I'm 46 this year.
Wow. Okay. That makes me feel a lot better because it was because you had said, because of your Skype handle that had a number in it, you said, oh, because I was that age once a time ago. And I was like, what? I've always thought that you were like 27, little whippersnapper, go, go, go with this like whole giant business. And I was always like, because I'm 43. And I was like, come on. How is she that young doing all that?
Oh, I am a dinosaur.
Me too. Yay.
So old.
I don't know why I thought that.
But the good thing about having a business where you can employ young people is that they are hilarious. I love Gen Ys. They're so annoying, but they're so funny.
It's so funny because right now I'm working with a group of, they're women, but I think of them as girls because they're all sort of in their early 20s, right? It is so funny because I, listening to them, I'm like, yep, I remember exactly being like that back in my, when I first started working in advertising and I was so excited and energized and I'm so old and jaded now. And
I know.
I emailed my old creative director and I was like, I'm so sorry. I must have driven you crazy.
She was like, no. That's why I think I had to change careers because I would not have survived being an old person doing what I used to do.
Well, okay, well, I need to know the whole story. I don't know your story at all, obviously.
It's so boring. No, okay, I'll do a really quick version.
Okay, go.
Okay, so went to uni, studied the most ridiculous thing, which was PR. For me, I don't like talking, public speaking. I don't like, I'm good with words on paper, but not with talking. So for me, that was just a ridiculous thing.
Why did you go into it?
Because my careers teacher, I grew up in a very small country town, and my careers teacher said, what do you want to do at uni? I said, I really don't know. He said, well, why don't you do this? This is this great new thing called PR. And I didn't even know what it was. And so I think the university I went to, which was RMIT in Melbourne, had to take a certain quota of country people, and I was the bumpkin that got in. And then I just ended up working in for a very well-known Australian fashion brand, fashion and homeware brand called Country Road. We all say we went to the University of Country Road, and worked and did PR there. Moved to the UK, worked at the Conran shop. So my background's always been in marketing homeware products.
Okay.
And then myself and two of my friends, Alex Wilcock and Russell Pinch, we were all working for Terence Conran at the time, started a little branding agency called The Nest in London, where we had did smaller projects for clients like Michelin and Lancôme and Cadbury's, and did some work on Roald Dahl. And it was like a little boutique agency back in the early 90s when that was sort of branding, I guess, was a newish sort of thing. So the company grew very, very quickly in a very short period of time, and I ended up doing HR, hiring and firing people, managing, talking about money.
Ooh.
And it went from really fun to really not so much fun at all. So then I got pregnant and had the children and moved back to Australia and said, sorry, boys, you're going to have to do it by yourselves. And took a decade off where I actually did nothing.
Ah.
So I sat at home with the children.
How old are they now?
Cleo is 16 and Lucas is 14.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're a handful.
So, I have a nine-year-old. I've got one nine-year-old.
Nine-year-old? Yeah. He's nine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's such a beautiful age.
It is.
Nine-year-old boys are so beautiful.
I know. He's still my little boy, but you can see the preteen sneaking in.
But some teenagers aren't. My daughter cannot be very nice at times. But equally, it's not as bad. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And okay. Lucas is still, he's a cheeky little boy. So he is the naughtier one, but he's also very pleasant. He's fun to be around. So it doesn't have to be all bad.
Okay, good. I won't have to brace myself as much as I thought, hopefully. Okay, so
He might be beautiful. He might be beautiful.
Well, he is so far. And he's my boy. He's a mama's boy, which I really like.
And yeah, my son was my baby. He's a mama's boy.
Yeah, I quite like that. I hope that keeps going. So you took 10 years and you were with them. And then how did this all start?
Well, I think because I always worked in a very creative environment. We were creating brands for people. Always a lot of imagery. At the Conran shop, I was responsible for all of the printed material for the branding and the menus for the restaurants, and then it was all of the Conran shop literature. And so it was always very visual. A lot of art direction, I guess, was involved in what I did previously, but I never actually made anything for work. But the minute I was at home, I started making sewing, screen printing, anything I could get my hands on, because to do nothing, it just sent me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're used to working and then to be at home with the children, as beautiful as they are, and it really was, I just had to do something. So I just started making things.
Had you made things like growing up, or was this just brand new, like sewing and all, screen printing, were you just sort of learning then, or was that something that you had already known?
Well, I'd always loved colouring in, and I did art at school, and but that was, if I'm honest, it was sort of ended there. And I always, because I always worked in magazines and with product and was always on photo shoots, and maybe that was enough at that point. I was really learning the business of running a business, which has been key. If I were to tell my little Cleo, if I were to advise her on which way to do it, I would definitely say learn from others before you start to do your own thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because they pay you. They pay you to learn.
To learn, to make mistakes.
Yeah.
To it's just a higher aesthetic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, I mean, of course, there's the freaks out there that are just amazing from, they will just never work for anyone, and they'll always just be amazingly creative, obviously. But for someone like me who, I wouldn't ever call myself an artist or a painter, or I can just paint some stuff. I think if that's not your lifetime goal.
Do you still think of yourself that way?
Absolutely.
Really?
I feel very uncomfortable. If somebody says, oh, she's a painter, I go, oh my God, don't say that. It's so embarrassing.
Are you serious? Your paintings are amazing. And you can't even finish one without it being sold.
Yeah, they're selling at the moment, which is great. But I think also, I think they sell, there's so much beautiful art out there. And there's so many really talented people. But you've got to be able to sell. You've got to be able to market. Sadly, unfortunately, if you want to sell a load of stuff, and the reason I like selling online and not having a gallery as such is that I can just make exactly what I feel like making.
Yeah. And you don't have to talk to anybody.
Exactly.
Unless someone calls you and forces you that you to go on their podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I hardly talk to anyone. So selling all that work means that you can just make new work, and I think that really frees you up. But it's a big part of the business, called the social media and the. I think you just got to be good at everything these days, unless you have a really good gallery.
Yeah, I know, and that I've talked to so many artists about that on this podcast. Is that being an amazing artist is one thing, being really good at marketing and selling yourself is quite another, especially, when that little voice gets in your head and tells you that you're not good enough and whatever. And it's really hard to get past that and still have enough courage to put your work out there and to, tell people to come and buy it.
Does anyone not have that little voice? That little voice, it's just a killer.
Mm-hmm, I know. But you obviously move right on past it. Somehow.
But it's there. It's always there.
Yeah.
It's always there. Yeah.
But that's the difference. I always say that I talk to lots of high schools and stuff, and I always say that's the difference, though, is that the people that are making it, and it looks like honestly, it's funny talking to you about this because I just thought, it's so dumb. I always tell people, these professionals, they don't just have it made. Like, they have that voice too. They struggle too. They have to get up every day and make. But I just, looking at you from the outside, I was like, oh, well, she's got it made. She doesn't.
Oh, that's hilarious. So don't have it made. It's a funny old thing. When people come to our studio, they go, wow, we thought you were so much bigger than this. Because I think because we have the product side of the business, yeah. And there's just three of us. After having the agency and it being so big so quickly and such an animal that needed to be fed, this business is myself, Lenny, my assistant, and Snaz, somebody else that works with us. But it's very small and very tight.
Produce the amount of stuff? Like, that's what I can't wrap my head around, is that you make so much beautiful stuff, and a lot of it is you, right? Like,
well, I make all the artwork.
Yeah.
And then we design all of the product together. We work really hard. We work really, I'm very focused when I'm at work. Mm-hmm. And but I do find the two businesses, the product side and the art side, one's always interrupting the other. But that's mm-hmm. fine as well, because I get really bored.
Right. So you can jump back and forth.
Yeah, if one thing's not working, then we just go and do something else, or we screen print, or, you know, mm-hmm. we'll embroider, or painting's been a bit tough this last week. And so I've just concentrated on the product.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have chunks of time that you set aside, or do you just sort of, do you schedule that?
It's all free fall. It's whenever. Everything's urgent, and yeah. everything had to be done yesterday. Which, you know, we all work like that these days. I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, that's how my life is. That's for sure.
And with children as well, you're really used to running to the clock. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I know that's multitasking, right?
Yeah, very productive, us mums.
Yeah, we are. I know, especially when they're little, right? And you only have those tiny little windows. Oh, so actually, let's go back and talk about that. So you're home with them. You start going crazy. You decide that you have to make something just to have that creative outlet. What did you start making? Those felt pieces?
Yeah, the felt little felt things. Do you know what? Sewing is my happiest place, because mm-hmm. you can unpick something you don't like.
Ah. Yes.
The pieces are small. I can be a feral and lie around and do it in my undies if I want to. I can watch TV. I can, and it doesn't require. So once the initial, they're not that hard. They're little playful things that it's like drawing a little picture.
Right. Once you have your plan, then you can just sort of zone out and make it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like coloring in. And I really like that. I love that.
And so when you start...
So that's never a chore. That's never a chore doing that. But my family, oh, my God, whenever we go away, they say, you are not taking any sewing. No more sewing. No more pins. Oh.
Have they been injured? Has anybody sat on a pin discarded on the couch?
Every single body part of my body part and my family's body part, seriously, there are so many bad stories, have been pierced by pins, apart from eyes. But that's been close-shaved many times.
What's that?
There have been many close-shaves. Well, take a big long draw on a big long and like nearly stab someone in the face.
No. Who knew it was so dangerous?
Who knew?
Who knew? Well, and so how did you go from doing that at home to it being online? And yeah, like what was the first thing that you put up? Did you have an Etsy shop? How did you do it?
So 10 years ago, the internet was just, people were just starting to retail online. And I got a little website done because I was in branding. I sort of knew how that was done. I had a brand done by a friend of mine who was very good, who I'd worked with before on some projects here back in Melbourne, and had a little tiny little website made. I don't know why I did the bed linen at that point. I had this really old version of Quark, and I drew in Quark. I was bored, and I drew these little flower patterns, and then asked this other friend I knew who had a manufacturing business, can you make me some pillowcases? Yeah, not a problem. Made them, and I really loved them. And so that's how the bed linen started. And then when we went to reprint, sort of, or to make new screens because we had a new fancy printer, we looked at the artwork and it was all completely uneven. All the, because I'd just done it, I hadn't even measured anything, just like making, just very unprofessional. So it was flying by the seat of my pants, just mucking around at home basically. Put all these little things on a website, maybe 10 things, and nothing happened for 6 months. Nobody bought anything. But at that point I didn't care because it wasn't
right.
I didn't take it seriously either. And then I got my first order and off it went, really. It grew very, very organically, which was a good thing.
Wow. And so how old were the kids? They were like 6 and 4 then?
So Lucky was just starting to go to school. So he was probably maybe 6. And yeah. Then we'd moved to Sydney by then.
Okay.
And then I worked at home for a good 4 or 5 years. And in the end, my husband said, right, that's it, get out. Like the whole front of the house and the whole driveway was covered in boxes with it was so bad. It was so unattractive. And so we moved. So I moved everything out of the house, which was a very healthy move. Working from home was just drove everyone crazy. So now we've got a lovely little studio and
How far is it from your house?
30 minutes.
Oh, that's good. And it is kind of nice to separate and be at work.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And I think when you're at home, I didn't ever get to talk to my friends, whereas one whole hour in the car, I can talk to all my friends. I can call my mom. It's good. It's good phone call time. Yeah. I don't mind that at all. And then you can leave work in absolute pigsty and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Close the door. The pins can be everywhere.
Hello.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're pretty good, but every now and then there's a little Wi-Fi blip or something.
I'm actually sitting in the car because I share a studio with a whole load of other people. So we have a film guy and then there's a potter and another painter and it gets noisy in there. So
that's hilarious.
Sit in the car.
That's so funny. That sounds like a really creative place though.
Somebody All those people. Said to me, it feels like art school. And I thought, wow, that's great. I never went to art school. It does actually.
That's really cool. Yeah. And then you must get ideas from each other and just the creative energy.
Everybody here is so beautiful and everyone does all different things. And my next door to me is an Iraqi guy who's a painter. And he is so funny. He's had a really interesting life. It's nice to get out of home. It really working at home drove me crazy. You have to get out into the big wide world and talk to all different types of people, I think.
Yeah. When you go home, do you still make stuff or no? You're home and that's that.
Mm-mm, I make stuff at home. I've got a home office. I stab everyone with the pins. They're like, oh my God, Mom.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is beginning to explain how you have this empire going on, because that's certainly what it looks like from the outside, I have to tell you.
It so isn't. It really is not. Not.
But how you have so many different products. And so you were.
Well, I think maybe it looks like it because I've just got everything on the website that I ever made. Maybe that's why it looks big, because it's really little.
Are you still making the felt pieces?
Yeah.
What's so your favorite thing? What's your favorite thing to make of all the things you make?
The embroideries. I love the embroideries.
Yeah.
But I always think I've got to make them now. I think this explains the output as well, because I think at some point they're not going to be, people aren't going to like them anymore.
So make them as fast as you can.
And so Lenny always laughs and says, oh my God, it didn't sell. 30 minutes. It's been online. Right. That's it. It's all over. Let's all go home, because that's how I think.
Yeah.
I think, right, if it hasn't sold in 30 minutes, that's it. Oh, my God, it's all over.
Oh, my gosh. You and I would be very good friends. I have very similar thought processes.
What do you think people are going to stop listening to the podcast?
Well, currently I'm freaking out because I just wrote a new book that comes out in the fall. And I'm so when I finished, I was so proud of myself. And I was like, this is good. Like, it's really, really good. And then you sit around for a year while the book gets made. So you have a year to sit around and doubt yourself.
How terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, like literally 12 months of doing nothing. And, you know, Chronicle's busy building the book and getting it all ready. And the marketing people are getting it all ready. But you're sitting there doing nothing. And I need to be busy, you know, to feel like I'm being productive. And so I'm just sitting here. And now I'm thinking, it comes out in October. And now I'm thinking, what if people hate it? What if I've made a fool of myself? I'm not a writer. Why the hell did I write a book? Like, so that's where I am currently.
But here's the thing, right? When I make something that I know is good and I know that I love it, it doesn't necessarily, so it's not like you're saying you need everybody else to tell you it's fabulous before you think it's fabulous. You obviously thought the book was amazing when you handed it in, right?
Yes.
And so when I put something online, you know, some things I like more than others. If I think, oh my God, I love that, it doesn't necessarily sell. And so then I think, well, I just can't always trust my judgment. So sometimes I think you've got to say to yourself, there's two thought processes. One, I was absolutely happy with it when I handed it in.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't like it, you just have to wear that. But the book, as if nobody's going to like the book. Hello.
Well, I feel like that about my collages. I do collage work and I'm making new ones now that I really, really, really love. And I put them up on Instagram every now and then and they get a really good response. And people have been saying, oh, you know, sell them. And I'm just kind of not ready yet for whatever
reason.
Why not? I don't know. I don't know.
I think I'm chickening out. Totally. Because I used to tell myself, no one's looking anyway. So it doesn't actually matter. And I think that's the different thing. When you're behind, when you've got an Etsy shop or when you've got your own website, you're not standing in a shop waiting for people to come in and seeing them, what's she thinking? Oh, my God, seriously, who's going to buy that? You don't see any of that.
True.
So you don't, it's not as confronting. It's really easy.
Okay.
Just stick them online.
Okay.
Put them online.
I'll watch House of Cards and I'll put my stuff online.
Even if, you know, I just am a big believer in sharing and.
Me too. And I tell other people to do that. Generally speaking, I guess the point of saying that was that I am really proud of those. And when I put them up with full confidence and it feels really, really good. I mean, I don't have them up for sale, but if I put them out on Instagram, which is a big deal for me, I didn't even used to show anything on Instagram. So even to put it out there is like my baby step and I feel really proud of it. So I kind of have to think about that with the book too, right? Like you said, when I handed it in, I was really proud of myself. It's just been.
It'll be awesome.
I think it'll be good. I think it's just that I've had a year to stew on it, and that's not good for my personality.
Yeah, that's a long time to have no feedback.
Yeah, and tomorrow I get my advanced copy. It's being shipped to me tomorrow. I know. Ugh. I'm super excited.
That's a moment. That's a lifetime moment.
Yeah, it's pretty. I'm pretty pumped. I was hoping it might sneak here early and get here today, but no, it should be here tomorrow. And do you know Martha Rich, that painter? She's so amazing, and she illustrated it. And so we are both getting our advanced copy tomorrow. So I was like, okay, message me when you get it, and we'll Instagram at the same time. And we're both like,
that's really exciting.
I know it's going to be cool. But anyway, how did I get on to talking about myself? Let's go back.
I want to know what the book's called, though.
It's called, strangely enough, Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll be reading that. Really? Is that what it's about?
That's what it's about, yeah. It's called
Syndrome. Awesome. I'll be reading it.
Your Inner Critic is a Big Jerk and Other Truths About Being Creative. So each chapter is sort of a truth about being what it means to be a creative person and sort of the great things and the pitfalls and how to navigate it all. And it's so funny because I really had to face – oh my God, I don't know how many times I cried while I was writing this book because I had to face some serious demons.
Right. Really?
You know? And so my work really changed. Like, I think I really came out of this. It's so easy to be the jealous curator and write about other people and interview other people. And then I just get to hide behind all of that. And this book forced me to actually think about me as an artist. And it was terrifying. But good.
Yeah, right. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's why I thought it was so crazy when you said that you don't think of yourself like that. Like your paintings and your screen prints and all of your ideas, and it's all so good. It's crazy to me that you don't think of yourself like that.
Oh, well, I doubt myself constantly, but I just, and that's the thing. The reason I don't is because the minute I say that, the minute I admit that I am one, then I'll be a crap one. Mm. That makes sense.
Right.
If I don't say I never did any of that, then I can't be crap at it.
Well, that's one theory.
I'll be reading that book. I really will.
Me too.
That's amazing.
Well, there's a chapter in dealing with criticism. So I've been joking that if the book gets panned, I'm like, well, I'll just read that chapter then and take my own advice on how to deal with criticism, I guess. There you go. I've got my own therapy just waiting for me. Okay. So let's stop talking about me. So your felt pieces are the first things that I ever found of yours. And I wrote about them years and years ago. And lots of them are song lyrics, I noticed.
Yeah, I love my music.
Yeah.
I think it reminds me of being a teenager. I think I'm lost in being a teenager, I've got to say.
That's probably why I thought you were 22 or something.
I'm very immature.
Well, that's probably why I like those song ones too, because we're the same age, and so a lot of them remind me of being a teenager. And the colors
that's
and
right.
all of that stuff
that's
totally
right.
reminds me of the 80s. Some of yours are really sweet too, that, you know, would be so sweet for somebody that you love or your kids or whatever, but I kind of like the naughty ones. Those are my favorites.
Do you know what? I could do so many good naughty ones. I said to my husband, I want to have just a different website, different names, different everything, because I think they would too.
Yeah, they would.
I did a print that said douche.
Yes, I love that one.
Nobody bought one.
No.
Not a single sale. Not one.
I wrote about it. I put it up.
Yeah. It's because my kids call each other douche, such a douche, he's a douche. Like, what about if I just did one that said dick? That'd be funny, right?
That would be hilarious.
But no, they don't. They don't like it. They just, I have to be careful.
Yeah, you're right. You have to do it under a different brand.
And that's it.
Yeah.
There's so many I want to do. There's this artist here in Australia called Lucas Grogan. Do you know him?
No, but I'll look him up.
Lucas Grogan, Grogan.
Okay.
He has no kids. He's young and has no kids, which means he can do and say exactly as he pleases. I am so jealous of him. Every time I see something he does, I think, oh, my God. And I actually email him going, oh, my God, I wish I was you. You are so lucky. You're so free. You don't have anybody saying, oh, my God, you're the most embarrassing human being on the planet, which is your children. You really do have to start to monitor yourself, I think.
And your brand, I mean, yeah, like people expect a certain something, right? So if they're going there to look for a beautiful little piece for their nursery and there's one that says dick, you know, might throw them off a little bit. I'd buy it, but.
I try occasionally to get a few little Rooted. I loved Rooted. I had 50,000 emails about Rooted, but probably in Canada it doesn't mean the same thing.
No, it doesn't. And we have Roots here. You know the clothing company Roots?
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's got a big beaver on it and then it says Roots. So all of my Australian friends are like, I need to buy everything from this store and take it home. And I was like, why? I just didn't get it at all. So I totally get that. So did you get 50,000 emails of people saying, that's hilarious, I want one, or that's rude, take it down? Oh, okay.
No. Saying, oh, my God, can you make one? You've got to make one for my best friend. Can you make one for my sister? Can you make one for – because the word – so you can get a root. It's like a really – like a swear word that you can put into any sentence, any tense. So you can get it, you can have a root, you can get a root, you can say get rooted, or you can be rooted, i.e. you're tired, you're knackered. It means a thousand different things and it's just a funny word.
Ah, good old Australia.
Good old Australia, us Aussies. But Lucas Grogan he's funny. He says some funny stuff. Like he'll make these really it must take him forever to draw these, to make these illustrations. That's, and one I saw the other day said, I want to lose 5 kilos on the weekend. That was the artwork.
Really?
I want to lose 5 kilos this weekend.
And it's just, is it text-based?
He does a load of different things, but really fine, intricate handwork. So, and really tiny brush strokes that must take forever. So it's not like he made a little artwork that took him 10 minutes that said, I want to lose a few pounds on the weekend.
Right, right.
He would have spent like months making it.
Well, do you know Wayne White's work?
No.
Oh, look him up. He does text-based work, and he gets old landscape paintings from thrift shops and stuff. Those really bad, you know, waterscapes and like, you know, a little barn off in the distance. And then he does his own type over top of it, but works in the shadows of the trees that are in the bad thrift shop painting. And they're hilarious. And he swears in them. He's and they're so good. And I had him on the podcast, and he was talking about the fact that they, now they're huge, but he said at first, like, you know, people didn't want to laugh in a gallery. You know, it wasn't serious. Wow. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't taken seriously. And I mean, it's gone crazy, and he does all sorts of other things, not just those. But we had a really good talk about that, because I really like being funny, and my art all has really ridiculous titles, and there's no text in the work, but the titles are kind of part of it because they're hilarious, and there's the occasional swear word in there. And I was so scared to do it until I talked to Wayne, and then I was like, yeah, that's my instinct, right? That's what I want to do. So why am I not doing it? And I think that's why I'm having so much fun, because it's the first time in my life that I'm not editing myself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's fun.
I think the minute you edit yourself, well, we're always editing ourselves, whether we realize it or not. But the more, it depends what type of person you are.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think traditionally artwork, you know, it was always created for, you know, unless it was cartoons.
Yeah.
It's always meant to be serious. So right. to.
I know. You know
it's an interesting one. That's for sure.
I know it is. I'm totally fascinated by it all, especially because I kind of kept this to myself for a long time. But then when I talked to Wayne about it, I was like, oh yeah. And so I've sort of been talking more and more with different people, and it is a really interesting topic. And I think, if you know, have fun with it. It can still be art.
Of course. But I think maybe if art's irreverent, would you spend $1 million on an irreverent piece of art? Well, yes, you will if it's a really amazing piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is an interesting one.
We're getting very deep.
It depends what you call art. Yeah. Right.
It must be sitting in the car. You don't have the engine running, do you?
No, but I'm very hot.
Are you?
I have to put my window down. Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just going to ask you the speed round then, and we'll be done. And you can go. And
okay.
Because I was thinking, I've got you for almost an hour, and think of how many things you could have made in that hour. And how many business decisions you could have made, how many sales you could have had, and you've been sitting in a car talking to me. So I'm going to ask you the speed round and let you back to your crazy life.
Okay.
So you have lived both in the UK and Australia. So Vegemite or Marmite?
Oh, Vegemite.
Yes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Your favorite place on earth?
Home, my house.
Home. That's so nice. I'm like that too. I didn't used to be like that, but now that I'm, you know, in my 40s, it's like I could literally just never leave my house and I'd be so happy.
Same.
Maybe it's our TV watching that's encouraging that as well.
That's it.
Oh, well, speaking of cars, I actually have this on my list. What was your first car?
Well, I didn't have my license until I was 26, I think. And then we had, my husband and I had bought a first car, like a little golf, a little runaround.
Did you know, was it because you were in London?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And what's the point in having a car in London?
Well, I used to forget where I parked it. And then I'd go back and it'd be gone. I have to get it out of the lockup, and I was constantly getting in trouble.
Oh,
I forget everything. Everything.
That's no
Where's
good.
Oh, it's not there. I don't know where it is. It got taken away. So we used to have to leave it in another suburb. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh! Better just to walk, or maybe just take the tube and call
or
it a day.
Or get your friend to drive you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so actually, is your married last name Castle, or is that your
it
name?
Is. Okay, yeah, that's my married name.
So it's so great because it's like a perfect brand name. But if you could live in a castle, would you?
No, I wouldn't. Does speed round mean I have to give a quick answer?
Well, that's the theory, but that never happens.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, I wouldn't. Now this is when I go, why not? We're... I'm the one that makes the speed round not a speed round because I chat too much.
We lived in a big church hall. We renovated a big church hall that had these huge ceilings, and it was big, and I could never get cozy. So then we moved into a really old-fashioned sort of Federation house, and it's just beautiful. There's rooms everywhere. You shut the door, you're in a confined space. It's warm. No, I wouldn't. I'd live in little. I like little.
Little cottagey, cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. Actually, here's a little thing about me again. So we live in our house is turning 104 this summer. And I've been trying to figure out, we moved in 3 years ago, and I've been trying to figure out who the family is that built this house. And I went to our little local, because we just live in a little tiny town, so I went to the museum and I looked through all these binders, and there was nothing about this house. It was documented that it was built that year, but there was nothing about the family. Well, the other day I found that it was in behind the paneling was this old stationery, and it said R. Pollock on the top, and it was... a list of our acquaintances, handwritten, a list of our acquaintances.
Really?
And so I was like, R. Pollock. And so I belonged to this little history group on Facebook for our town. So I messaged and said, hey, I found this thing saying R. Pollock. Does anybody know? Well, before you know it, I got a message from his great-grandson.
Really?
And he sent me a photo of the whole family. His name was Robert Pollock. He was married to Mary. They had 8 children. And here was their family portrait. And they built this house.
That's adorable.
Isn't that
really
cool? That just happened today. And I was...
Oh, that's totally cool.
Yeah, so I printed out the photo and I framed it and I put it up because it's just so weird, you know, that how many families have lived here and that this... Yeah, so same thing. I just like the cozy and the old, and now especially to know the history is even weirder and cooler.
Yeah, it's really nice. Did your son like that? He would have loved that.
He was slightly creeped out.
Was he?
Yeah, because the photo is old, right? The photo was taken in... I don't know, right after they moved in here, like maybe 1915 or something. And it's a bit ghostly. And he didn't like that.
Oh, dear. But little kids think everything's weird. That's just weird, Mom.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's creepy. And it is a little bit creepy. But it's cool, too. You're like, I just love that kind of stuff, especially when we moved into this house. It's been taken care of very well, but it's been renovated a lot. And we moved in and there was no evidence that anybody else had lived here. Like, I thought there might be notches in the door, like a little height chart, you know, or whatever, nothing. And so when we redid the basement, we poured concrete floor and I made Charlie write Charlie 2014. And anytime we do anything, I'm like, no, we got to document that we were here so that, you know, when the next family comes... There was proof that we were here, you know.
Well, you are a real storyteller. That's a nice thing to do.
I know it. Somehow I've turned this interview. I've talked more about myself than you.
Don't be silly.
Oh, Danielle. Okay. And now this is just my curiosity. Do you or do you not have a wiener dog?
Yes, I do.
I thought so. I saw
my
on the
God,
website.
She's beautiful.
We have two.
So, have you? No
yes.
way.
Yes.
Aren't they? Oh, my God. She is the love of our lives. Oh,
what's her
she's
name?
She's so beautiful. Sydney.
Oh, perfect.
What's yours called?
We have, is she a black and tan?
She is, yeah.
Yeah, we have a boy black and tan named Murphy.
My God.
Who is like the beautiful. Devil. And then we have a really sweet little girl, a red, who's named Stella.
Cute. Yeah,
Murphy and Stella. They're a little old retired couple. I saw on your website. So is that you holding the wiener dog?
Yes. Yeah, so Cleo and I went, she was 16 last month and we went to New York. And I said to, we were in a bookstore and I said to someone, we've seen so many dogs in New York, but nobody's got a sausage dog. He looked at me and Cleo said, a sausage dog. And they said, what, you mean a wiener dog? What's a wiener dog? A wiener. In Australia, a wiener's like, it's your weenie. You're like your little weenie. Like boys have a little weenie. So yes, we call them sausage dogs here.
Because it's very inappropriate to call them wiener dogs.
Yeah, we were laughing, going, well, wiener dog.
When I went to Australia in my mid-20s, I, and don't judge me because it was a different time, but I was traveling, so I was wearing my fanny pack. Yeah. And I said it to a bunch of Australians. I said, oh, they said, do you need a purse or whatever? I said, oh, no, it's fine. I've got my fanny pack. And they all died laughing. And I was like, what? I know it's not that stylish, but what? It's just a fanny pack. And they were like, yeah, that means something else here.
We're just immature.
And they're like, so they're like, you have to call it a bum bag because a fanny is around the other way.
But I guess a bum or a fanny, it's like the same thing, right?
Well, I don't know.
But it's either front or back.
Yeah. Anyway, I was humiliated because I was 24 or 25 and, you know, trying to be cool in Australia.
Did you blush bright red?
Oh, yes. I was probably wearing my Roots sweatshirt at the time, too. The Canadian shows up with her Roots sweatshirt and her fanny pack.
Canadians and Australians are the same people, I've been told.
I know so many couples that are Australian and Canadian.
Yeah, I know some really good Canadians. They're really fun.
Yeah, I know some good Aussies too. And now I've got another one. Mm. A Vegemite loving sausage dog owning.
Loving. Yeah. Loving that sausage dog.
I know. She looks just like my Murphy. That's why I was like, I have to ask because there's so many great photos on your site. But I saw that and I was like, I have to know if that's hers. So there you go. We both have them. And that's it. Those are all my questions.
Well, thanks for having me.
It was so fun.
It's been nice. I feel uncomfortable talking about myself for a whole hour and a quarter, but you made it painless. It was good. And I seriously cannot wait to read your book. I really can't.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
There's one sale. Woo!
There you go. Go to bed and you can wake up tomorrow and say, I made a sale and I didn't even have to give it away. She's actually going to buy it.
That's right. There you go.
There you go.
Well, I am so happy to do this. You have been this like enigma to me for years and years, Rachel Castle. Ooh. And it's so nice to know that you're human and not 22 and, you know, taking over the world.
I should have just said 22. I should have said 24. Yeah, I'm 24.
You should have.
The next time.
A 16-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Was that your car keys?
That it is. Can you hear that?
Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. Okay, you go on with your day. It's nighttime for me, so I'm going to bed. You go on with your day.
Have a gorgeous night. And I'll be reporting back on the Americans and you can report back on House of Cards.
Deal.
All right, darling.
Deal.
Okay.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
Bye, Danielle. Bye.
So, I have an update for you. 2 days after our call, Rachel emailed to say that she is, and I quote, OMG, hooked on the Americans. I knew it. So now it's my turn to watch House of Cards, but I'm too busy watching the Americans. Ah, such a busy, busy life. Oh, and I also wanted to say, I do know Lucas Grogan's work. His name sounded so familiar when she said it, but I couldn't place him. Well, I wrote about him years ago, and it sounds like I need to do it again. Thank you for the reminder, Rachel. Okay, I have to say, I loved this episode. She's so talented, so successful, and such a funny, totally normal person. I feel like I looked behind the curtain and found a TV-watching, dirty-word-loving, sausage-dog-owning soul sister. Thank you so much to Rachel for sitting in her car for an hour to talk to me. Thanks to Saatchi Art for supporting the episode, and thanks to you for listening from your studio, house, coffee shop, or maybe even your car too. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.